always do what you say you're going to do and do it. No excuses. Like, if you're starting out in business, that's the one thing I can say. That's the biggest hack I've learned in 40 years. That'll save you. Nobody wants to hear, we may be able to do it. I should be able to do it. I could be able to do it. You just say, absolutely, you can do it and get it done with no excuses.
Thank you for tuning in to Hacks and Hobbies with your host, Junaid. We're visited by our amazing guests coming from all walks of life. We want to learn their story, their struggles, and their journey on how they got to where they are today. So stick around.
In this episode, we have a special guest, Steve, joining us. Steve is an experienced entrepreneur in the landscape architecture industry. He's faced numerous challenges and setbacks, but has always come out stronger. In this episode, Steve shares his incredible journey, the highs, the lows, and the invaluable lessons he's learned along the way. So grab a seat and get ready for an inspiring conversation. Steve, thank you so much for taking the time and coming on to the podcast today.
Glad to be here. I just want to thank you for coaching me on that last little thing about the lighting and the sound. Much better. Not as good as yours, but I'm glad to be here and I appreciate the tips for sure.
100%. I want to make sure that you look the best because you are on a podcasting guest journey and you've done a lot of appearances and I'm really proud of you because that's something that I want to do myself, do more guest appearances, but you know, you take what you can and you keep going. And I absolutely love that. So thank you so much.
Glad to be here.
All right. So Steve, let's take a walk down memory lane and rediscover your origin story. We're going to spend a little bit of time on here. More learn about how you got where you are today. And then after the intro, after the little origin story, we're going to dive deep and then really tell the people what it takes to be as successful as you are. So let's get started.
How far back you want to go? I'll give you the...
Not too far back. Just give you like the highlights.
I'll give you the highlights. So, yeah. So I mean, you know, I studied landscape architecture school at university. I went to Mississippi State, studied landscape architecture. My father was in the union contracting business in New York City. And in the winter times, I would come home from school and work with him in the city in the union. So they, when you work in New York City, the mindset is totally different from working at every place else. I learned the mindset of there's no excuses, rain, sleet, snow, the job must get done. So I carry that into my own business. Yeah. Where anytime we do a project, you always have to like, there's no excuses. Nobody wants to hear your woes. They just want the job done on time, on budget, and good quality. So that's the very short version of it. I've been doing this for 40 years. That's the real abbreviated version.
Well, Steve, tell me this. What inspired you to go into landscape architecture? I mean, I love architecture myself. I architect rooms and studios for people all day long. But what really inspired you to go down that path when you were going to school?
I mean, even take one of those aptitude tests before you get out of high school. It's like check the boxes. I didn't check the boxes of being in an office. I didn't check the boxes of, you know, studying computers. It was more check the boxes, creativity, design. It kind of just fell in that thing. So it logically led me to the outside. I didn't want to sit in an office. So working outside. And that's how it kind of fell into that. That's pretty much it.
Wow. That's really powerful. I don't remember taking that aptitude test, or maybe I did. I don't remember anything about it, but that's a really, really clear vision of, you know, what led you where you are. And a lot of people, or maybe that's how it was back then, right? I mean, now we have like all sorts of technology. Now we have like all sorts of things that are possible for students, for people getting out of high school.
I would imagine, because when I started, we would have the beepers. My sons, they don't even know what a beeper is. Like, yes, I'm 63. I'm going way back. Yeah, it was basically a printout aptitude test where you hand wrote, check the boxes.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Well, you certainly don't show your age, my friend.
Well, thank you, sir.
Let's go deeper into your business that you're currently running. What keeps you coming back and like what keeps you motivated and inspired to come back each and every day? Like what's what?
I think, what is this? You know, I'm involved in this mastermind group called ALP, where a bunch of guys get together from all over the country. It stands for Altitude, Logic, and Pressure. It's a sales thing. And I'm the oldest guy in there. And they all say to me the same thing. It's like, why do you keep doing this? I think it goes back to like, I just can't see myself retiring and sitting on a beach and playing golf. When you're in your own business, there, that's a fallacy. That's a misbelief that you can just retire and kick back. And, you know, unless you're like Mark Zuckerberg or Bill Gates, that you can just sit back and retire. When you're in the contracting business and design, it's just a never ending process. Mm-hmm. And I think I want to see how far I can push myself. Right. That's that's why I keep going.
I absolutely love that, because when you're working for yourself, you're not, first of all, you didn't start to work for yourself because you were forced to. It's because you wanted to. You get to do what we want to do every single day, right? And when that's the case, then you want
to
keep doing
it. That's a, everybody's like, oh, you're so lucky, you get to take vacation whenever you want to. That's false. Like, That's false. It's not that. Everybody's like, oh, you're the boss, you make all the money. It's not. It's a lot of risk. When you're an entrepreneur and you're striving, you got to make sure that the paychecks are there. You got to make sure you have work. Like, there's a lot of risk. It's not, you know, but I wouldn't have it any other way.
Yeah. Because you get to control that destiny, right? You get to control, but not just the control too, right? There's also being the provider for employment for the people that are working for you. Like, they're making a living because of what you created.
Well, they kind of look up to you as the leader. Like,
yeah,
I think you either have it or you don't have it. Like, if you need to have a thick stomach. I was in business in 2008 when the stock market crashed and they repossessed my two cars. And I think, you know, just the perseverance of just keep fighting. And, you know, it's true. Like, never give up. You hear that all the time, but it is true.
Steve, let's talk us through one of the areas where it almost felt like you didn't want to continue, but you came back. And like, for example, you know, in 2008, tell me, like, let's go deeper into that. Like, what kept you? Okay, they've repossessed. Like, how did you continue? Like, that's a hook right there.
I mean, I still remember the night, like, clear as day. Like, they came to the house at like 3 a.m. and my wife's like, somebody's out by the cars with flashlights. I came outside, said, what's going on? They were very polite, very nice. And they said, listen, we got to take your cars. You missed 3 or 4 payments. And I said, all right. So I had to take my two sons' car seats out of it. I'll never forget that. Took the car seats out of it.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, what options do you have? Like, you have a wife, you have kids, you have a mortgage. Like, what are you going to do? You have to be a man and stand up and just, you know, figure it out. That's what I did. Just hung in there. And then besides Janut, I don't know anything else. Like, landscape design that's all I know. Yeah. I'm not going to be, that's what I know. I don't know anything else.
Wow. That's got to be insane, because you're providing for your family and now you can't go around.
No, you couldn't even get business. It was bad back then. Nobody was doing landscaping. People were losing their homes and their businesses and all. It was really bad. It was way worse than COVID.
Yeah. So let's take another look at entrepreneurship, right? So I'm teaching high school students entrepreneurship. What are some of the lessons that would inspire them to say, hey, this is something that's going to change what you do with the rest of your life?
What do you mean change what you're going to do with the rest of your life? Like, you teach entrepreneurship to high school kids.
Yes.
So these guys are young kids that they think entrepreneurship is the cool thing right now.
Right.
What I would tell them, it's not easy. It's a lot of risk. And it's not for the faint of heart. If you can stand those, you have a stomach that you're not going to maybe get a paycheck, but you got to pay your employees.
Yes.
You can step right up. But if you're not, you better move out of the way right now. Don't waste your time.
So let's say they didn't they learn about entrepreneurship. They know it's hard, and they. But what are some of the mindsets that they can employ in their regular jobs? Let's say they don't start work for themselves, but I'm sure there's some kind of mindset they can take away from.
I got it. So like I recommend when they, you know, to take a job somewhere in high school, come out, learn on somebody else's dime, like learn the mistakes. Biggest thing is learn from other people's mistakes. You hear that a lot too. Like, I mean, I've made so many mistakes.
Yeah.
Hundreds of mistakes. Can't even count them all. Like, oof, can't even make. So learn from somebody who's made the mistakes. Don't try to figure it out all on your own.
Yeah.
And put your pride in your pocket and shut your mouth, open your ears and listen. It's a simple formula. That's it. That you can close the textbook right from there. There it is.
Close your mouth and open your ears.
Definitely. And learn from other people. Let them learn on their dime, not your dime.
Because they're paying you to come do some kind of work, but then you continue to grow your mindset, continue to build something.
Build that muscle of rejection. Build that muscle of it's not even going to be easy. Just keep building it and always keep in the back of your head, like, it's worth it. Like, it is worth it. Like, it's no other way to explain it. Like,
yeah.
I remember when I was 16 years old, I never forget this. 16 years old, I was working, washing dishes in a catering hall. And all the guys would come outside and one guy said to me, oh, why do you want to work for somebody else and live somebody? Why do you want to live somebody else's dream? Right. That was that was when I was 16. That was 50 years ago. I still remember that. Like, you're right. So you have a dream to start your own business. Why do you want to live somebody else's dreams? Create your own dream.
Yeah. You know, just today I was listening to this song, Make Yourself by Incubus. I don't know if you've heard of it. It's an older song.
Older song.
Right?
Older group, yeah.
Older group, older song. Yeah, yeah. And he's talking about if you don't make yourself, somebody's going to make you for you. And you're not going to like that. And there's nothing you can do about it. Right? Like, I screenshotted the picture. But if you really want to live, why not try and make yourself?
Like, if you don't have a plan, someone's going to have a plan for you.
Yes. And because if you don't make yourself, then somebody else will. If you don't plan for your own life, somebody's going to make a plan for you. Absolutely. Now, some of the things that you're doing in urban spaces are sustainable designs. Talk to us a little about what that means.
It's an overused word, I think. It's like, oh, sustainable. I think, you know, we try to design jobs that are native plant material that will last a long time as far as the material. So you don't have to keep redoing it. You wanted the motto is do it once, do it right. Mm-hmm. If you're going to build a project, make sure you use top quality material. Don't use the cheapest guy and just get it done right. So it lasts a long time. You don't have to spend a lot of money with upkeeping. That's, to me, is sustainable.
Yeah. No, I like that a lot. I mean, tell me this, Steve. Share a story behind starting your career with Justin Wheelbarrow. I think we talked about this. What motivated you? So you're outside, right? You're outside. You took the aptitude test and what motivated you to say, hey, I'm going to take this wheelbarrow. I'm just going to do this.
I mean, when I got out of college, I worked for a guy for like a year and I'm like, I can do this. I can do this. I'm selling his jobs. I'm project manager. I can do this. So I bought a piece of junk truck for like $500. Loaded it up with plants, got my first job. I'll never forget it. And that was it. Like, that was 40 years ago. That's a long time.
Wow.
I don't give myself enough credit, actually. I'm very hard on myself. I don't give myself enough credit. I'm nowhere near where I want to be. I think that's true of an entrepreneur. They're never satisfied. I mean, I don't see. I'm on to the next thing already. Like, I don't see it as sitting here with you is an honor, right?
Yeah, I'm on to the next thing already.
It's like the fact that you even want to talk to me is big, right? Seriously, it's like you don't think of all these things. I appreciate that.
And I think it has a lot to do, like what you're just saying, not appreciating and not realizing or not giving ourselves enough credit. I think it has to do with how we grew up and how we were brought up, right?
Oh, you got to keep the work, right?
There's I'm sure there's a lot of stories that you have.
It's like, wow. I grew up, my father was a construction worker, a union construction worker. He would come home every night tired, you know, leave at 4:30 in the morning in the middle of the winter. And for years, if I didn't come home dirty and tired, I didn't think I put it in enough effort. But now as I get older, you work with your brain, not with your back. Like, I don't know. It took 35 years to figure that part out. Like, don't do everything yourself. Like, try to delegate and, like, you know, become a leader and a manager, not just a doer. I'll just do it myself. I can do it better. Terrible mindset. Terrible. That's one thing you can put in here. Like, don't do it that way. Don't do what I did.
And I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for that. And it's very true. You know, the world has changed and come a long way. And a lot of people talk about self-awareness, you know, being happier, being not just happier, but being more self-aware and how it is that they're approaching life. And we were there to hopefully guide them. Hey, don't do it the way we did it. Find a better way. And there's a ton of books and messaging on that.
It also takes hard work. Like, there's no easy way. There's no easy way to the top. You got to take the stairs. Like, everybody, I think, wants the shortcut, you know, especially the young kids in high school. Everybody wants to be an influencer.
They want to make the money without doing the work.
Yes.
And that's kind of hard to do. And I think the one thing that you mentioned was your dad inspiring you. Like, if I'm not coming home dirty, if I'm not coming home fully tired, I haven't put in the work, right? That is a very strong, powerful.
It's terrible.
It's terrible, but it's also a powerful foundation to be a hard worker, right? But then also integrate the intelligence part of it. Okay, I can do really hard work and I can do hard work and smart work together.
Right? Yes, you can work hard, but work smart. Don't just work coming home dead tired and you think you put in a good day. I remember working with him in the winter vacations. Mm-hmm. You're in college, you come home for the week, you come home from college and all your buddies are out. I would stay out all night long and have to get up at 4. I mean, I'll never forget those days.
Yeah.
I just wanted to just cry because I was so tired. But he always got up and went to work, you know, no matter what.
Amen.
So that's really, I just grew up with it.
I love it. All right, let's talk about a little in your business, because New York offers a unique challenge in terms of space. How do you approach landscape architecture differently in such urban settings?
So, you know, I think I use that to my advantage, right? So we work in the suburbs a lot outside of New York City and in New York City. And the mindset when you work in New York City, you have to logistically designing a space in New York, you're constrained. You know, the weight of the trees, the weight of the soil, how are you going to get the material up on the roof? There's so, you know, the traffic, the parking tickets, so many logistical issues you have to think about. So you want to be very efficient. And I try to carry that to all my jobs, be efficient. Mm. And it all starts at the design. Everything starts, we're talking about, it starts at the design portion of the project.
Yeah,
for sure. A good design equals a great project.
So I'm sure you do sketches and prototypes of, hey, this is what it's going to look like before you even start the work.
Absolutely. So when we do the hand-drawn renderings, we can convert it to a 3D rendering. It's actually just a graphical representation of the project, and it keeps everybody on the same page, especially with the clients. Like, you want to be on that same page with the clients so there's no misunderstandings at all.
Nice. And what makes your design philosophy distinct, especially when catering to celebrity homes and luxury communities?
They work. My designs work. I mean, I've been doing it. You know, you see a lot of fancy designs on Instagram and all that, but those designs look great on paper. I think you have to convert it from, how do you get that design to go from paper to actually implementation without blowing the budgets, right?
Yeah.
You know, so by drawing on 40 years of experience, I know what it's supposed to look like. I know how the grading is supposed to be. I don't need to have a fancy, the picture's only for the client. I know what it's supposed to look like. I have a vision in my head before I even start the job, for sure.
I love it. Would you mind discussing a project where sustainability was particularly challenging and how you addressed it?
Sustainability as in what? When I hear sustainable, I think of like evergreen or like, you know.
I mean, you can make sustainability is such an overused word, like you mentioned. But for example, you know, but there was a little bit of challenge in, hey, we can't really make it the way they're thinking it's going to happen, but then you still address it and bringing that creative factor.
Very simple. So we're doing a project recently where we're putting in a swimming pool. Mm-hmm. We had to jackhammer all the rock, 20, 30 truckloads of rock. So I said, listen, we can load up these trucks and drive it down the street and beat up the street and make a lot of noise pollution and all that. Mm-hmm. Or we can keep the rocks on the site and build beautiful stone walls. Mm-hmm. At the end of the day, it's almost the same price. So, so that's my thinking. Like, how do we use what's on site to create, you know, to try to sustain, well, you use that word again, to try to create the words. Maybe we take the dirt from the pool and we build up a berm and we make it look like a golf course and raise the terrain. Yeah. So it gives it a little more character, that kind of stuff. That's why when you're on site, when you're designing it, it definitely can use that to your advantage.
That's so smart, because running those trucks back and forth does, you know, noise pollution, gas usage, like there's a lot of waste happening there. And then you're going to bring new rocks in. Why not just use the rocks? That's really
absolutely. That's projects happening right now as we speak about that.
Yeah, I love it. How did you land your first celebrity or high-end client?
It was just referrals, just referral based from doing it all. And you know, and I think once you become in that circle, they kind of trust you, know you like you trust you, and they just refer you to other people. It's a double-edged sword when you work with those type of people. I have to respect their privacy. So I do. So,
of course,
you know, we have very good relationships with that type of client, but demanding for sure. That nobody wants to get ripped off. They don't want to get ripped off. They want a good job and they don't want any headaches. They don't want any headaches.
Yeah. Nobody wants headaches and they want a good job and they want to be able to trust, because guess what? That's what literally every human being wants. So celebrities are no different. They just want more of their privacy and don't want to get ripped off, because even though we know that celebrities make a lot of money, they still want to make sure that they're saving money, that they're getting a good job done.
They're the toughest when it comes to that, actually. They work hard for their money, so they don't want to waste it.
They absolutely do. I love it. Running a top business in New York must come with its own set of unique challenges. Can you share particular trying time and how you overcame it?
A situation where it was tough. I mean, from trying to get material 34 stories up on a roof and you have a deadline because you can't lock the sidewalks after Thanksgiving because it's Christmas holidays, so you have they have a moratorium on it. It's just a whole, I mean, you have to be able to make adjustments on the fly.
Yeah.
Right. You have to be able to adapt. You have to be able to make quick decisions. Nobody wants you to, you have to look like a leader. Like, you know, how are you going to attack this challenge? You have to lead the troops to battle. Like, you have to figure it out.
Yeah.
I don't care if you have to unload the truck down the street, which we had to do, and wheelbarrows up the street because the street's all blocked with the ambulance and the fire trucks. I mean, it happens every day. That's just like nothing.
Wow. And then to get to the 34th floor, are you using the elevators and whatnot?
No, it's a new construction. So on the side of the building, they have what's known as a hoist.
Oh, okay.
You have to shuttle everything up in bags and up and down. And it's, you know, it's a challenge. Definitely a challenge.
That's definitely a ton of labor for sure. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. But it comes down to the design, right? Design it with the proper plants and the lightweight soil. And same when we're doing designs in the suburbs, like how do you get up? How do you build a swimming pool up a mountain? You know, it's logistically, it comes to the design for sure. Mm. It's all design.
It's all design, man. I love that so much. Steve, before we go for our break, and then when we come back, you'll share three hacks to share with the audience. What is next for Steve Griggs? Are there any projects or new ventures on the horizon that you're particularly excited about?
Always looking for the challenge. We just recently started going outside of New York. We've done Massachusetts. I just recently got back from Sacramento doing a design out there. I like the challenges of designing in other spaces. I would like to take it to the Caribbean. It's still the same design philosophy, right? Mm-hmm. It's just different plants and different materials. That's all it is. It's still the design process that I like. I'm kind of liking that more of that travel and getting out of the New York in the cold winter months, because it's a very long winter here. I'm totally open agree. To go, you know, Caribbean, anywhere. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Awesome. We'll make sure that we get some clients from that region for you. Let's take a quick break, Steve. And then when we get back, we'll share three hacks for the audience.
Looking for the ultimate live streaming and video production studio? Discover Ecamm Live, exclusively built for Mac. It's the leading solution for podcasting, webinars, live streaming, and more. Elevate your content creation game and bring your ideas to life with Ecamm Live. Head on over to hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm and download your studio today. Start creating with Ecamm Live and elevate your audience engagement. Download now from hacksandhobbies.com/Ecamm or tap on the link in the show notes.
Hey guys, welcome back to the episode. We've been talking with Steve Griggs here on the podcast, and such an awesome conversation. He is so full of wisdom here on the podcast. There's so much to learn. He's done some amazing work in landscape architecture, and this is the only thing that he says he knows, but he knows a lot more than just landscape design, because he's been in business for over 40 years. He's been doing this. He's been doing some remarkable stuff, and he has a hardcover book which looks absolutely gorgeous. We'll have a link in the show notes. But Steve, tell us three hacks to share for the audience that they can implement in their business and help them move forward.
Biggest hack to get business: always do what you say you're going to do and do it. No excuses. Like, if you're starting out in business, that's the one thing I can say. That's the biggest hack I've learned in 40 years. That'll save you. Nobody wants to hear, we may be able to do it, I should be able to do it, I could be able to do it. You just say, absolutely, you can do it and get it done with no excuses. That by far will lead to many referrals and repeat business. And that's hack number one. Number two, write yourself a book. Everybody wants to hire the guy that wrote the book. Like, that gives you instant credibility, right?
Yeah.
That's hack number two. Hack number three, keep an eye on the money. Keep an eye on the money. Man, if I lost a lot of money just by doing not keeping an eye on the money. You know, watch the cash flow, learn the finance part of business. If you can do those three hacks, you're golden.
I mean, that the number three hack is very, very important, because that's literally... So we all know the story of Henry Ford and how he, you know, started this Ford Motor Company. He didn't do much schooling, right? He left school at eighth grade or something, and he just loved working with motors and engines and whatnot. And he got so good that Westinghouse hired him because he knew how to fix these tractors. But then he went back to school to learn about finances, to learn about how to manage money. Because if you know how to manage money, you are golden. And you're absolutely right. Do the stuff that you say you do. Write a book so people know that you do the stuff that you say you do. And then handle and get a handle on that money. I love it. Thanks so much.
because they don't teach that in school, right? They don't teach that. You're so busy working, worrying about designing your craft, designing projects.
Yeah.
You said, oh, I'll just do a good job and the money will take care of itself. The money never takes care of itself.
It's always looking to run out. It's always looking to go. It's in a constant flow, right? That's why we call it cash flow. It's either flowing in or flowing out.
Fresh money. You need fresh money. Fresh money. Always in and out. The quicker it goes to the bank, you know, I'm always going to the bank.
Mm-hmm.
I'm always depositing checks because it goes out fast.
Yes.
Like it's just constantly in and out.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, I love it. All right. Let's jump into our rapid fire questions.
Oh, rapid fire.
Quick ones. I love them.
Let's go.
What is the one hobby that you wish you got into?
I'm still going. Like, what do you mean? Wish I get it. I think anything you can still do is like, I don't wish I ever skydived. I mean, actually, I'd like to try yoga.
Mm.
Like, you know, something that stretches your body and the hot yoga. I like to work out and sweat. I mean, I do a lot of other hobbies, but like something, you know, I'm not a golfer.
Yeah.
Something, you know, something like yoga.
I did see some bikes in your background earlier.
Yeah. I like the biking.
I love biking, man. It's
do you, man? You like the biking?
I'm a road biker myself. I know we spoke
about that.
The five boroughs in New York was my
first.
You told
me that. Yeah.
And it's like, oh. And the craziest thing, we're out there for like 8 hours or something, probably less, but it was raining the whole time. 2016, May. It was raining the whole time and my knees are killing like at mile 35 or whatever.
How many miles is that?
40 miles.
We went through the five boroughs, man.
I think my average was like probably 10 miles an hour. I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to keep it easy.
Do me a favor. What is that again? Because that's something I'm crazy enough to do. Like
five boroughs. It's basically in New York. They'll start in
Staten Island. Where do they start?
They end at Staten Island. But they start probably in Manhattan. So they go through all the five boroughs. 30,000 people ride it every year to do this. TD, I'll send you the link to it. TD Boroughs, five boroughs.
It's called TD Boroughs, TD.
It's basically called the five boroughs tour or something. I'll send the link.
Yeah. Wow.
But it's happening every
single year. I would do that.
You're right there. Cause I drove up. I didn't even have a bike at then. So I rented a bike from this guy and he's like, here's a specialized bike. It's mine. I don't have any rental bikes. And this thing was so light. It's carbon. It was so light. I was like, oh my God, this is a dream to ride on. And that got me hooked into doing road biking because before that I was mountain biking for years and years on end. But the riding five boroughs changed my mind. And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to continue to bike.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, I would do that.
Love it. Next up, what did you want to be when you were a child?
Landscaper.
And you are.
No, I look at that. Honestly, I don't, not what my, how about this? What I didn't want to be is watching my father go to work every day because he's like, oh, come join the union. There's good benefits.
Yeah.
And I was like, hell no. No. Like, I see you getting up every day at 4 o'clock, snow, sleet, rain.
Yeah.
That's one thing I didn't want to do.
Mm.
That's for sure. So.
So you designed the landscape. Like, hey, let me design the stuff that you're going to work on.
Yeah. I just didn't want to be, I didn't want to work for somebody. I didn't want to be, I didn't want to go 50 years working for, that's just not my DNA.
Love it. You and I are very similar because I designed before people developed mobile apps and websites and whatnot. So it's not like you're not getting up, you're not calling those, or you're not getting those, what do they call when you're not on call kind of thing? Like, you know, for developers to have to be on call because if something breaks, somebody's got to go fix it. Right. But we design like, hey, this is how it's supposed to be done. And then they follow through. So I love that.
Yeah.
All right, next up, what is your favorite movie or TV show?
I mean, favorite movie, I gotta go with Rocky.
Oh my God, come on.
I mean, that's
the one.
That's Rocky. I'm Rocky.
Hell yeah, you are.
I got beat up. So I got beat up. I just keep coming back. I'm Rocky.
Oh my God. I got to go see that movie again. That's a classic one. He's still working, man. He's still working. Creed 3. Like he's the coach.
He's the coach. He's got a TV show out with his daughters. Like he's still working.
He's still working, man.
Yeah. That's my God. Rocky.
Well, I think you have the answer for the next question. What movie would you choose if you got to play a character in it?
Ah, that's a good one. I kind of like the tricky question. I don't know. What
would you want to be?
I don't want to say Rocky. I mean, I don't want that's too obvious. We just talked about it, but
maybe Rambo.
Maybe Rambo. I just the you know, everybody loves the character.
Right.
Yeah. No, it's a good character too. The one with Will Smith where he was homeless.
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd be the white Will Smith. You know what I'm saying? Like it's just
my God.
Just that you know, everybody, you know, it could be Tom Cruise and Mission Impossible. Like
yeah.
You know, anybody you really want to write this, but The Pursuit of Happiness is a really good movie.
Like, it's so powerful. I mean, I cry like every scene. It's like, oh my God, holy smokes. It's pulling all the heartstrings. It really does.
It really is so powerful. Like, so when you're feeling down and you said, oh, poor me, mate. And you feel bad for the kid. He's sleeping in the bathroom and he just kept, I mean, that's the story right there. That's the American dream.
Yeah. You got to work for it. All right. Next up, who is your favorite superhero?
The Hulk.
Oh.
Sometimes the guys in the morning.
Yeah.
I ask my guys, it's funny you say that. I'll text them an emoji of the Hulk. I said, are we feeling strong today? Strong. Yeah. I send them the Hulk. It's like Hulk smash. I said, don't get weak on me. Because I'll start texting them at like 5:30 in the morning. Like I email clients at 5 in the morning.
Yeah.
Another hack. Contact your clients early in the morning. They may not read it, but if you send them an email at 5 o'clock in the morning and they wake up and they see that, they're like, wow, this guy's thinking
this
of
guy's
me.
Already awake. Yeah.
Already awake, already thinking about me.
Yeah.
That by far has helped me tremendously. Huge hack.
Huge, man. That's really powerful. I have a follow-up question on that one. Okay, let's say you're working a job. You haven't started. You just gave quotes. How often do you follow up? Or they're like, oh, let's go and do it.
I don't follow up.
Okay.
I mean.
Because you've got so many.
Like you call them up and say, hey, have you seen my proposal? Have you looked at it? Like you don't need to do that.
No. Okay.
People are smart.
Because if they wanted to, they would have already.
You're not calling me up to ask me how I'm doing. You're looking for the job. Like if you're on top of mind, they want you. They're gonna hire you. You don't need to remind them to call you and look at the questions. You understand?
Right.
Like
right.
And it always comes down to. I find it's typically price is a big barrier. It's price.
Mm-hmm.
What else is holding you back? Price or you're afraid to spend the money? Like which is it?
Yeah.
I'm the guy. Like I am the guy to design your job. I don't know who else are you going to bring in. That's the kind of attitude you need to have. Like you have to be number one. Like why are they going to hire, you know, if you're on trial for murder, let's say you want the guy that just got out of law school. You want like a Johnny Cochran. You want the best.
Yeah.
You want the best. I don't care. Whatever it is, you want the best and you need to be the best and act like the best. Because if you don't, people can tell you're not the best and they're going to move on.
Love that.
Another hack, I guess. I don't know.
That is a great hack. I mean, I needed that. So, you know, it's great advice. Thank you so much. Last question. If you were a board game, what would it be?
Chess. Chess. Why not? Like, it makes you think.
Yeah.
Well, Monopoly, obviously, but like, those are the two.
Yeah.
And I'd be the guy, the little Monopoly man in Monopoly. The guy, the money guy, that would be.
Yeah.
If you wanted me to ask what I would be the Monopoly man in Monopoly, or I would be the Actually, I would be the queen on the chessboard.
Mm, queen and chessboard.
Not the king, because they get squashed.
Yes, they do. Steve, this was so much fun. Thank you so much for bringing your wisdom, your know-how, all the tips, all the hacks. This was a lot of fun. I wish that we can talk for a longer time and get more nuggets out of you. Where can the superpreneurs find you or find your book?
Maybe I'll see you in the 5-borough bike tour. You can find me on Instagram, stevegriggsdesign.com. I mean, Steve Griggs Design, at Steve Griggs Design is the Instagram. Steve Griggs Design is the website. The book is called Straight Dirt, New York's premier landscape designer tells it like it is. So that's kind of how we came up with that title, because of the New York, and I just tell you it like it is. So we decided Straight Dirt. That's how Straight that came Dirt. Out.
Man, yeah, I love that.
You were a lot of fun. I really enjoy what you're doing here with the podcasting, and I really appreciate you helping me with my lighting and my camera, because it was a disaster.
Well, I'm glad to have helped you and, you know, show those pointers, because I am the best.
That's right. You're the best. You are the best lighting guy by far. Like, you're lighting. You look like a movie star, bro. You look like you look like Martin Scorsese is behind the camera with your lighting.
He's back here.
It's amazing. I gotta tell you, it's like you got the glow. He's got the whole thing behind the perfect lighting.
Thanks so much, Steve. Appreciate you. I'll catch you in the next episode. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Take care.
Thank you for listening to Hacks and Hobbies. You can find additional information on the guest today on their website, hacksandhobbies.com. Please feel free to subscribe to the podcast so you don't miss out on upcoming interviews with amazing guests.